I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, everybody. It's Sports Overnight America, a different kind of show. You'll find out why. You can email us, sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. We're heard on Sirius 217, XM 203, all those apps. I love TuneIn, American Forces, Gals and Guys, You Stay Healthy, Sports Byline, Sports Map, radio stations like SHP 1400 in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. We're joined by the guys, Mark Mancini, the World's Worst Sports Handicapper from Galaxy Sports Art Source, and John Rosengreen, who's written The Greatest Summer in Baseball History, How the 73 Season Changed Us Forever. And folks, an interesting book, and we'll talk to John about that.
Wow.
So much to talk, play some Barron Sports Trivia, of course. So much to talk about in sports. USA Today had an interesting article. You know what percentage of African-Americans are playing Major League Baseball? About 6.1%. Ironically, this is Jackie Robinson weekend, of course, April 15, 1947, when he first played for the Brooklyn Dodgers, but 6.1%. And the answer everybody says, well, you need more players to play baseball. No, you don't. I used to play over the line. You had your own pitcher and you had two guys on the other side. I practiced regular baseball and then I come back at 6:30 and play over the line with three other people. So you don't need more people. I guess basketball, you could just shoot by yourself. But the point is, the odds of getting CTE in baseball, I would say, are probably 1/100th versus, let's say, football. And what, 70% or 65% of the NFL is African-American. So please explain to me why 6.1% of Major League Baseball African-Americans, five teams do not even have one African-American. The two Chicago teams only have one per club. SportsFred@AOL.com, SportsFred@AOL.com. Also, I want to talk about this. In Philadelphia, Citizens Park, they're letting you drink now through the eighth inning. Used to be the seventh. And with the faster game, it would make more sense to back up to the sixth. Some of the Philly players are arguing about that. People are going to get hurt, but money has to be made. Let's discuss it. SportsFred@AOL.com, SportsFred@AOL.com. Back with the guys right after this.
Every piece of land has a story. The upshot's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and figure out what is it going to take.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaws have the tools to DIY all day long. Run with us on a 1 Series tractor and start telling your story. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $134 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Scott for Scots here. You ever want to grow new grass faster? Kind of like when you press the 2x playback button on your podcast so you can speed through episodes. Except it's Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass. You're speeding your way from a thin and damaged lawn to a thicker, stronger one in just weeks. Bit too fast, maybe slow it
down, okay. Let's just go back to normal speed.
Get a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass today. It grows grass 2x faster than seed alone when applied at the new lawn rate, subject to proper care.
Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 415. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, everybody, it's Sports Overnight America. The guys are now with us, but first you can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper. Art Source, former kicker for the Rams and the Trojans of USC. And later we'll play some Barron sports trivia. Later, John Rosengreen has written a very interesting book, The Greatest Summer in Baseball History. We'll discuss that, but we're on Jackie Robinson weekend, so we got to talk about this. Only 6.1% of ball players in MLB are African Americans. Mark Mancini, any thoughts about why that would happen in 2023?
I think they're going in, you know, the Japan and China, Dominican Republic and stuff. My idol was Willie Stargell, so you know, and back then I think the percentage was low, not as low as it is now, but man, oh man, it's interesting. I think what they got to do is get to the inner cities, and that's the key right there. The ball club's got to get in the inner cities and introduce the sport. It's an expensive sport to play; people can't afford it. It's not like picking up a basketball, and
But that's not exactly true. I played over the line as a kid. You need three other people
with a broomstick.
Well, and the other thing is, guys,
what I mean is, you know, I understand in golf you can just, like, already, you know,
you can
play baseball with four people, and it's not the same as playing basketball with four. I'm not questioning that, but there's so much money to be made. I just don't get it. Why would they go to the Dominican Republic, as you indicated, when there's not going to be any chance of making that kind of dough over there versus here? So I don't know.
There's another problem here, Fred, haven't touched on. Okay. Now, when you look at football, which has like 70% blacks, you look at the NBA, which is probably 95% black. Okay. Then you look at baseball, 6.1% down from 8% a couple of years ago.
Right.
You have a league that needs to promote the game of baseball in each of their cities. These are major cities. These are not little towns with baseball franchises. These are big cities, and believe me, there's a lot of people that could use these inner city kids would love to go to a baseball game. They'd love to have the opportunity to play baseball, but I don't think they're getting the same chance they had outside of the old Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, New York, many, many years ago.
Right.
Ramirez, the great player for the Dodgers and the Cleveland and Boston, Manny Ramirez, he played right there in those fields, and they were on blacktop. Right. They played with rubber baseballs.
Right.
A lot of kids came out of that area. And I mean, it was something that was really right there, adjacent to Yankee Stadium. Right. You don't see that anymore. You don't see. Now, if you go to the nice parts of town, you see beautiful Little League fields. But in the inner cities, you do not see it. I mean, you look back at Barry Bonds, who came out of Riverside. You look back at Willie Mays. You know, I mean, these kids played stickball in the streets of New York. I mean, this is the kind of thing that Major League Baseball, if they make a promoted effort to do it, especially with the kids like Mookie Betts, who would be a perfect ideal person to spearhead something like this. Sure. We got to do it. We got to do it because the athletes, especially with the game being more exciting now. I mean, they've tried to make the game more exciting. People are hustling. Games are 2 hours and 40 minutes, not 4 hours. And I just think it's a great move. It's a great way to bring more athletes and more inclusivity into the game.
Let me say this. Let's say you're a 25-year-old African-American. So where you were growing up 25 years ago, 1998, Ken Griffey was the best player in baseball, African-American. So you had a hero. Barry Bonds, certainly with Pittsburgh and the Giants, they were the best outfielders or players in the national pastime. So I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, yeah, you want to bring it to the inner city, but 6.1 to me is a remarkably low number. I mean, it's just like hard to believe.
It's mind altering if you really think about it.
Yeah.
When you look at guys like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Mookie Betts, and you see the great players that are still out there, you know, and it makes you really question, you know, what's going on in this country. Because baseball, let's be honest, you guys, football's a great sport. I'm sure everybody would probably say the NFL dominates everything. But I will tell you this, baseball has a great heritage. I mean, look what's going on this weekend. We don't know. You know, Toronto's off to one of the great starts of all time. Tampa Bay playing Toronto this weekend. You know, there's a lot of excitement going on in the game of baseball.
Well,
and go ahead, Mark.
No, let me ask you. Then, Artie, I don't know if you saw this week, YouTube charging like $450 to watch NFL games.
That's
what's
another
wrong with that?
Yeah, right. I mean, we go from DirecTV for 30 years to YouTube, and now they're going to raise the prices on the people. You know, and I've always wondered, you know, I know the NFL wants money from, you know, YouTube, who's owned by Google or whoever who owns them. But the bottom line is this, you have to have access, you know, to football. I mean, and I don't know. I really think they're about ready to slay the golden goose. You know, I mean, the prices of everything, you're going to have a Major League Baseball player from Japan named Shohei Ohtani, who's going to break the $500 million mark in salary, might even make between 50 and 60 million with his next contract. There's 25 players in Major League Baseball making over 30 million now. Okay. At what point in time can you afford to take your kids to the ball game?
Not only that, we had 10,000 fans show up in Pittsburgh to see the defending World Series champs. There was 17,000 at Anaheim to see Washington and the Angels for a day game. I think to generate this sport, not only getting in the inner cities and introducing the sport to them, but I know, Fred, you're totally against this. The first half, second half winners. I mean, you got to do something. You know, I'm not a big fan of everything in the NBA, but I like their play-in game. And it's generating something to get teams interested and fans interested. Look at my Pittsburgh
Penguins. What's your saying? Well, the Penguins, for 16 years, they went to the playoffs. They just ushered everybody in the front office out. Three guys got fired. You know, yeah, four people got fired. You're right. But here's my point. At what point in time do the leaders of Major League Baseball get together and say, look, we have empty seats. Why not give these to the kids in like areas and bring chaperones with them, bus them in, go to the school systems. There's nothing better than getting a kid to go to a ball game. And if one or two out of 10 of them become baseball fans, you might create, you know, a life, a great life for somebody, even if they're not great players. The things you learn by being on a team that we all learned by playing Little League baseball and playing high school sports, you know, that team aspect of not I, but us, we, that's something that's real important for society as well, Fred. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I don't like any of the new rules, basically, including the big bases. But talk about something on baseball right now, and you're in Pennsylvania, and Mark, I know you have some thoughts about this. A couple of minutes left in this segment. The Fenway Citizens Park have moved the last time you can get a beer from the seventh inning to the eighth inning. There are some Phillies players who are screaming about that. Obviously, it's the bottom line. They want the beer companies to make money. So they, you know, get to sell it at the stadium.
So they're not worried about the guy having too many beers and driving home.
No, DUIs and injuries and deaths and things like that. But we got Phillies players screaming about that, and ownership doesn't seem to care. So the bottom line is money tells all and sells all, and the bottom line is nobody seems to care about the fan. But when somebody gets killed driving out of Citizens Park, at that point, somebody will start screaming. And I don't know if it would even matter. But it makes no sense. The games are shorter. So you go backwards to the sixth inning, the last inning.
Brad, I had an idea the other day. You know all the great National Pizza Huts and Little Caesars? Why don't they sell the bases? In other words, first base is brought to you by Little Caesars. Second base is brought to you by Pizza Hut.
Don't do that.
They look just like pizza boxes. It'd be like fantastic.
I like your idea. I think that's a done deal. I think that's fantastic. I don't like the big bases. We were 15 by 15. Now they're 18 by 18. So I don't like anything Manfred's doing.
Let me ask you a question, Fred. You remember in the old days when you come in, slide in a second, you know, and with your pop-up slide. It didn't matter if you came off the bag a little bit. The guy's holding the tag on you. They never ever did that. You remember that? Now, when you slide into second base, you better stay on that base because they're gonna have that tag on you the whole time.
All right, that's Art. That's Mark. I'm Fred. We'll come back with Barron Sports Trivia later. John Rosengreen, all straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to try something new. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar and enjoy real Coke taste and zero sugar. Now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Try Coke Zero Sugar with your favorite food from Burger King. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Sizzling sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck. All Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar to enjoy spring your way at Burger King, where you rule. At participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. I'm Fred. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. The guys again... Mr. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper, Art Source from Galaxy Sports with us. And Art, being 126 years of age, every time we play Barron Sports Trivia, we have to ask him this question. What the heck are you taking legally, medically, to stay up this late and answer these questions? Although last week, like, you were 4 for 4. Let's see how you do this week. Artie, what are you taking tonight?
I told you about this new stuff from Focus Factor called Pro Focus. It's absolutely the greatest. I wish I want to get them as a sponsor for our show. I mean, I also take a little Prevagen. It's a little expensive for my taste, but I also have Awaken because we're on late at night. I got to keep up. So, I mean, you know, at my age, 126, I have to be very careful about, you know, getting my proper sleep. But all in all, Fred, bottom line is things are going good. I feel good. And that's the most important thing.
All right, Barron Sports Trivia started with my cousins, Lisa and Andy, and now we've been doing this show. Based on your emails, you seem to like it. Mark Mancini, let's prove that you're not the world's worst sports handicapper, yeah, and you're pretty good at this recently. Who was on deck for the Braves when Henry Aaron hit number 715? Who was on deck for the Atlanta Braves when Henry Aaron hit number 715 versus Al Downing?
Was it my buddy Darrell Evans?
Darrell Evans, third baseman, not a bad player. Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
All right, so Mark could be right. Art Source, is he right or wrong?
I was going to go with either Darrell Evans or Dusty Baker. Since he went with Evans, I'm going to go with Dusty Baker.
Why would you say Dusty Baker?
This funny feeling he congratulated him after he hit the home run. I remember number 12. It comes in my mind.
Well, you're 5 for 5 now. You got 4 for 4.
Wow.
Last week. You know, it is. Dusty Baker was on deck when Henry Aaron hit the home run.
When I used to do AAA baseball for the Phoenix Giants, Dusty was obviously the manager of the San Francisco Giants. We talked about that moment many times, and it's the greatest moment of his life. I haven't talked to him in the last couple of years. I'm sure winning the title with the Astros last year might be as important. But he thought for him to be in that position to watch one of his heroes, because he was pretty young then, you know, do this and beat Babe Ruth's record, it was really something special for Dusty. And that's how I knew it.
All right. So, Mark, you think Dusty Baker is a Hall of Famer?
Oh, without a doubt. He was a great player. And show me another manager that's won in every city, pretty much. And I don't use World Series as a way of winning, but turning franchises around, he's unbelievable. Show me another manager slash player that did that in Major League Baseball.
And the Art Source, is he a Hall of Famer?
Ask anybody that played for him, and they would say yes.
I would even say better than what Yogi Berra accomplished, because – you know, Yogi Berra was a good player, but as far as a manager, did he accomplish more than what Dusty Baker accomplished? I'd say no.
Actually, he did.
Yeah?
He did. Yeah, he won a world title with the Mets. I believe he also, as a manager, did pretty well with the Yankees. I do know this. I think he had 18 world championships.
Well, I don't think as far as the manager, when he went to other teams, like Baker turned around Washington, he turned around the Cubs, the Giants,
I'm not arguing with that. Dusty Baker, to me, is one of the top 6-7 managers in baseball history. But I'm a Yogi Berra fan because he was my dad's favorite player.
Yeah.
And dad tells me the story about in Yankee Stadium. The pitcher bounced one in there, and Yogi hit it off one hop into the right field pavilion. And I mean, when I heard that story, I said, holy, talk about the best bad ball hitter, him and Manny Sanguin.
All right, yeah. Sports Overnight America, folks, you can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. Art Sources on a good streak. Sandy Koufax, I was there as a very little kid that night in 1962. Who did he throw his first no-hitter against, Sandy Koufax?
1962. You know, I'm going to have to – he had this thing about the Cubs. I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs.
The Chicago Cubs. Okay. Why?
Probably wrong. I don't know. I just – they were terrible in those
They
games.
Were terrible. They were bad clubs.
If you're going to know hit somebody, that might be the team to know.
All right. Mark Mancini, Art says the Chicago Cubs, because they were a bad team. You agree or disagree with Art Source, who's 5-5?
I will tell you, Raleigh Finger said the other day the guy he looked up to was Sandy Koufax, and that caught me by surprise. But I'm going the St. Louis Browns or St. Louis Cardinals franchise, whatever they were.
What if I told you it was an expansion team?
The Montreal Expos?
In 1962. They were the first.
It would be the Mets. It would have been the Mets.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count, Artie. You're now 5-6. The New York Mets.
You know, they were my third choice, actually. I thought it might have been the Giants, too. But, now that I think about it, that was the only team worse than the Cubs.
My story about that June night in 1962 was that my dad drove. My dad woke up at 6:30 in the morning. He was manager of a butcher shop. And so he worked hard, and then he went to play poker 4 or 5 nights a week. But he would take me to games because they were $1, $2, and $3 or $3, $4, and $5. Yeah. But the bottom line is through 6 innings, first inning, Koufax had an immaculate inning, 9 strikes, end of the inning. By the 6th inning, I said, he's got a no-hitter. My dad says, Fred, we got to go. I got to get up early in the morning. So I actually heard the last 3 innings, Vince Scully on the radio.
And if I'm not mistaken, Fred, wasn't Duke Snider on that Mets team?
In 1962, he was not.
No?
Okay, so his last year was 64 when he was back with the Giants. Uh-huh. In 62, yeah, he might have been with the Mets, 62 and 63, or it's just 63 with the Mets. Yeah. All I know is Koufax threw the no-hitter, and I was listening to it on the radio June of 1962, so I will never forget this. Mark, what future major league manager made the final out in Koufax's perfect game in 65 versus the Cubs? He was a good manager, and he was a very good hitter. He is not in the Hall of Fame. What future major league manager made the final out in Koufax's perfect game in 65 versus the Cubs?
Cubs had a lot of managers growing up that I remember.
He didn't manage the Cubs, but he was a player for the Cubs.
He played for the Cubs and made the final out.
And he was a manager for
I would have to say –
Let's say we're talking.
How about Harvey Keene?
Harvey Keene is correct. And why would you possibly know that? The pills are working, Art.
Because he had dinner at the Village Inn, and he talked about the joke that he made with the National League umpire that night. And I was the busboy, and I got to hear the story. And he said he looked back at Al Barlick, and he said, that sounded outside.
Hey, Harvey Keene Wallbangers, Milwaukee. Hey,
in California, they're trying to pass a rule since you talk about being a busboy. Artie, if you work in a hotel as a busboy or something like that, by 2028, they want to pay you $30 an hour. 2028 is only 5 years away. Artie, you think that might come to pass?
I made it at a night, and it was my dad's restaurant, so I probably got a little bit more from the girls. I was lucky if I got $5 to $7 a night as a busboy.
You think it'll pass in California, $30 an hour?
How much is going to be a Denver omelet?
Nobody's going to be able to afford to go to dinner.
Yeah. All right, folks. SportsFredAdale.com. SportsFredAdale.com. Okay. Gaylord Perry, this is for Art. Gaylord Perry threw his only no-hitter for the Giants versus the Cardinals. They won 1-0. Okay. who had the only hit in the game. Only one hit in the game. Hey, Giants against the Cardinals.
Willie McCovey hit a solo home run.
And I'll tell you something else. He only had two home runs the entire season.
Then I'm going to go with Ron Hunt.
Come on. You couldn't possibly have known that.
But Ron Hunt, former Expo.
It was Gibson versus Perry that night. And the only hit Gibson gave up was a home run.
You know the kind of research I do in sports? Everybody laughs at me. They go, how do you come up with this stuff?
No, seriously, how did you? That I would have bet anything that neither of you would have gotten that one right. That Ron Hunt is not a famous name.
Fred, when you have passion for something in life, and you're a little kid and you love to read, and you love to read about history, that's why the joke is I'm 126 years old.
Well,
because I've read everything there ever was published prior to me being born about baseball.
Okay,
and Ron Hunt was also known for something else. He got hit by a lot of baseballs.
Yeah. But if you're in Florida and you're a little kid and you wanted to read about Henry Aaron or Roberto Clemente, guess what? You couldn't read it in the school library because DeSantis has pulled it out. Any thoughts, Art Source?
I find that very difficult to believe. I don't know why. It's probably true, but I think it's the goofiest thing I've ever heard because I don't know why. I mean, when I was growing up, Fred, and I grew up on military bases all over the world. My dad worked for the Department of Defense. I listened to a lot of Armed Forces Radio, which is now American Forces Radio. Can't be armed with anything. You know how that is nowadays. But the bottom line is, Shelby Whitfield and all those guys that did the games, listening to the broadcasts, it was such a great era of baseball. But I grew up never understanding anything about racism. I mean, I got along with everybody, and I've just never understood this whole process of racism because we're all human beings.
But somebody wants to be better than somebody else, and I think that is the bottom line. We'll come back with the guys after John Rosengreen straight ahead on Sports Overnight America.
Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare our direct rates with multiple companies. Now that we've covered something you could do, it's time for sports stuff you definitely could not do.
If you were head coach, you would not have gone for it on fourth down. Your confidence in your play calling ability might be a little overblown, considering you're barely confident in which restaurant to order takeout from, let alone choosing a play in front of 70,000 screaming fans.
But you definitely can use Progressive's Home Quote Explorer to easily compare rates. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Zero emissions goals are driving automakers and consumers to accelerate the shift to electric vehicles, EV. But roadblocks still exist to allow for their transition. Recent data from the IBM Institute for Business Value found that 50% of surveyed customers are considering getting an EV in the next 3 years. However, only 13% of industry executives anticipate that their countries will be ready to support the EV fleet by 2030. Key factors such as public charge point availability, reliability, EV and energy costs, and network connectivity are impacting EV adoption. Moreover, none of the executives surveyed believed that standard cars will be sold after 2040. Jonathan Wright, Global Managing Partner, IBM Consulting.
Our survey shows that significant transition is going to happen by 2040, but it will require a sustainable power grid that can meet and exceed the expected demands. It'll take an ecosystem of companies across industries, governments, and other stakeholders for EV to really take hold. So the time for action is absolutely now.
To learn more, visit ibm.com/sustainable-mobility. Sponsored by IBM.
This report is sponsored by Boehringer Ingelheim.
I'm Bernie Williams, and I lost my dad to idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, one of the most common forms of interstitial lung disease, an umbrella term for over 200 rare conditions that can cause scarring of the lungs and may make it difficult to breathe. My dad was my hero. He was the one to introduce me to music, and it is something that helps me feel connected to him even today. Music was always something that helped me cope as a caregiver. Writing a song to honor my father and his own journey with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis was a way to put my feelings down on paper, and I know so many people can relate. Check out Tuning to Lung Health to hear more about what living with interstitial lung disease really means and the important role that music can play in helping to cope with this disease. You will find a series of vocal and breathing exercises, playlists, and some of my favorite tunes. and personal stories from people who have been affected by interstitial lung disease. Visit tuneintolunghealth.com to learn more.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 4/15. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. We've had John Rosengreen on before, fine baseball writer. This time, the greatest summer in baseball history, how the 73 season changed us forever. John, welcome again to the show.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Now, this book was actually written before, and you've republished it. Is that correct, by Sourcebooks?
That is correct. The original version looked like this. It was published in 2008. It had the worst title in publishing history. And so it was a critical success and a box office flop. But I was able to convince the publisher to give it a remake and or do makeover. And they gave it a new cover, new title, and reissued it on the 50th anniversary of the 73 season.
Sourcebooks, Amazon.com. The greatest summer in baseball history. This is more than baseball. 1973. Let's see. Richard Nixon got inaugurated for the second time. Didn't last long. The end of the Vietnam War. Henry Aaron was striving to catch Babe Ruth. A lot of things were happening in this country. People like yours truly were marching, and marching some more. This was a very interesting year. 1973. John, talk about that.
Yeah, the country was really in turmoil. You mentioned Richard Nixon. Watergate was unfolding, and so the nation was riveted watching the Watergate hearings, the National League Championship playoff game, or game five of the National Championship playoff series was interrupted with the announcement to broadcast Spiro Tiagnu's resignation. You know, he was implicated in tax issues. And so, And the Paris Peace Accords have been signed, so the U.S. was getting out of Watergate. The OPEC oil embargo was happening, so gasoline was hard to come by.
Sounds like now.
Well, you know, each era has its own specific events, of course, but the nation was in turmoil. And there were those who were afraid about the way things were changing and wanted to hold on to the traditions, the way things had been. And there were those like you, Fred, out marching, saying, hey, we need change. And the designated hitter really struck both those communities. You know, there were people who said, yeah, we need to change baseball, and the designated hitter is the way to do it. And there are those purists who thought, no, that's going to destroy the game. We can't do it, and felt threatened by it. And so that's just one example of how what was happening in society played out in the arena of sports as well.
In baseball, New York Yankees, we had a new owner. He changed baseball. I don't think there's any question about that.
Right. George Steinbrenner bought the Yankees back in and finalized the deal early 1973 for a cool $10 million from CBS. And the Yankees had fallen on hard times. You know, they weren't winning ball games. They weren't winning pennants like they had in the past, and they weren't drawing fans like they had in the past. And so Steinbrenner marched in and began the infusion of big money into the game of baseball. You know, by the end of spring training, he made the team the highest, or given them the highest payroll ever in Yankees history. And within 2 years, he'd signed catcher Hunter for $3.2 million, another $1 million bonus, initiating that era of big money salaries in the game.
On the other side of the country, 3,000 miles away, Oakland. Charles Finley was making changes in 1973 at a very strong club.
Yeah, the A's were such a colorful team in that era, not just in their garish golden green uniforms, but just in the personalities. You know, got Catfish Hunter, Sal Bando, Bert Campaneris, Vita Blue, Gene Tennis, and of course, Reggie Jackson.
And swinging A's.
They were so... And the players, you know, they were this ragtag bunch of ruffians, mustachioed, long-haired. One manager said they looked like a protest march had broken out into a baseball team. They were united in a common enmity against Charlie Finley, who was notoriously tight and bullied the players with his pocketbook. And he was also a showman, of course, you know, wanted to use orange baseballs and was dressing ball girls in hot pants and riding his mule out on the field. And so this was just such a circus, you know, and when they made it to the World Series, everyone wanted to watch.
Hey, Mark, you know, Mancini.
I was going to say, you know, talking about the Swinging A's, you know, I remember they had MC Hammer, I believe, was also part of their pregame stuff. And they had Mrs. Fields cookies, if you remember that.
MC Hammer was a ball boy, if I remember right. And
yeah,
Mrs. Fields was one of those young women in the hot pants.
Exactly. But I mean, I look back at it now, and then you see baseball as we've come 50 years later. And what are your thoughts right now with what's going on in Major League Baseball? You know, you've got the games have definitely sped up. It's great. It seems to be working real well. I only have one problem with the new rules. And I wanted to talk to you about that, John. Your thoughts about an extra innings, putting a runner out at second base. Doesn't that just change the entire tenor of a game?
Well, you know, as I understand, they want to speed up the game. And obviously, if you start a runner in a scoring position, it's going to increase the chances of ending the game earlier. But as a baseball purist, I'd rather just keep going. You know, I don't mind a 14, 15 inning game.
See, I mean, I'm the same way because if you understand the real true strategy of baseball, the little intricacies of, you know, up and down, in and out in the strike zone, you know, the real true baseball fan who, you know, I grew up listening to it on the radio with Vin Scully and Dick Enberg. And, you know, and believe me, the insights that we got from those two great announcers about the, you know, the idea of a runner on first, getting them over to second, getting them from second to third, you know, with less than one out because there's nine ways to score from there rather than a fly ball. You know, it's amazing to me, but I do think they're on the right track. I'm not sure I like the pizza box bases. What are your thoughts on those, John?
On the enlarged bases?
Yeah, I call them the pizza box bases.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it increases the stealing, and it seems to have, I think that's a good thing. I like the small ball myself, and stealing the bases is part of that. So if they need to increase the size of the bases to encourage guys to run, great. But, you know, it was like back in 1973, there were all sorts of people who were upset about this designated hitter rule. And it started as a three-year experiment with the American League owners. And it was driven by the fact that there had been this labor crisis. In 1972, the players went on strike. In 1973, the owners locked the players out of spring training to negotiate the new basic agreement. And so the fans are kind of soured on baseball. And Forbes magazine said it was in danger of extinction within 20 years. So the American League owners felt their crisis needed to do something. They initiated this experiment. And you know what? It worked. It increased runs. It increased.
Are you in favor of both leagues having the DH?
It increased hits. It increased runs. It increased home runs. And most importantly, it increased attendance. And so it helped solve the crisis that they were facing. And, you know, it only took 49 years for the National League to catch on and institute it as well. But it seems to have been a success, I'd say.
Our guest, John Rosengreen, the book, The Greatest Summer in Baseball History, the 73 season changed us forever. Source books, Amazon.com, major bookstores everywhere. I know you want book signing situations also. 1973, Henry Aaron was trying to catch Babe Ruth. He caught him the next April versus Al Downing. Talk about all the letters in it. This is Jackie Robinson weekend as we're doing this interview. The bottom line is, talk about the thousands of letters that we found out later that Henry Aaron received from white people telling him basically to take a hike. We don't want you breaking Babe Ruth's record.
Yeah, Hank Aaron received about 930,000 pieces of mail in 1973, far more than any other citizen. President Nixon was the only one who received more mail that year. And many of those letters were positive and supportive, but about a third of them were negative and had ugly racial epithets in them and even death threats and people who said they'd target him on specific dates when he played at specific stadiums. And for a while, Aaron just internalized that, but eventually he couldn't bear it anymore and he spoke up and let the press know. And he was influenced by Jackie Robinson because Robinson said, you know, so long as you keep quiet, people think you're satisfied and you're okay with the way things are. And Aaron knew that he couldn't do that. And his, in 1973, the nation was riveted on this pursuit of his toward Babe Ruth's iconic 714 mark. And Newsweek magazine called him the most conspicuous figure in sports. And, you know, New York Times had a little tally on the baseball with the count of his current home run, you know, total. And NBC interrupted programming in September to show his latest home run. So the nation was watching, and Aaron used this as a platform to speak out about the racial ugliness and prejudice and bigotry in the country. And, you know, at the same time, I think he bore it with such a dignity and grace that he became a hero for all time. And to my mind, you know, he remains the true home run king.
John, 6.1% of ball players are African-Americans. USA Today had that article this week. In your opinion, why are we down to 6.1? We were screaming when it was 8. Now it's 6.1.
You know, I'm not an expert in that, but I can sure tell you that it seems, yeah, obviously things have shifted with the more Latin ball players in the game, and there's a lot more emphasis on recruiting Latin ball players. And so I'm not sure that, and I don't know about the opportunities kids are having to play, Black American kids.
Do you think we got to build more ballparks in the inner city? Do you think Major League Baseball should actually start thinking about getting these kids in these schools in the inner cities and getting the kids out to the ballpark? Because, I mean, you look at great players in baseball, you know, from Willie Mays to the 70s. We always talk about the halcyon days of the 70s, right, Mark? I mean, you got to do something.
Well, I'm looking at John, and I'm about ready to go over to Fred's house and get a Dodger hat, put it on John. He looked like Don Sutton, the late great Dodger. But let me tell you, you know, I'm blessed enough to do a podcast with Billy North, and Raleigh Fingers was on the other day, and we've had Gene Tennis. To me, and I'm 61, nothing beats the 70s, nothing against the 50s and 60s of baseball, and nothing against what it is today, but nobody can dominate the Oakland A's in that three-year run. They put California on the map. And the best hitting team, the Cincinnati Reds, and my beloved Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, you had colorful uniforms. You had dynasties. You had teams back then. John, you can't go against me on the 70s.
Well, I'm with you about the 70s being certainly a colorful and an exciting time of baseball. But I'll tell you, I believe that we're biased, and this is why. Because I think for every boy, there's a golden age of sports, and it happens between the ages we learn to read a box score and the time we discover girls or start dating. And so we're old enough to understand the game, but young enough to still have our innocence and not be troubled by all the things wrong with it. And I think for any kid, that becomes the golden era of sports, and it's magical in our memory as we look back on those days. And so you and I both hit that sweet spot, you know, or the 70s hit that sweet spot for us. And so, you know, and that's when I was collecting baseball cards. You know, I still have these shoe boxes full of them in my basement. You know, those feelings we have. Baseball is so much nostalgia that those feelings we have attached to the game, I think, will never go away. And I don't think anyone will ever be able to convince us there's a better era than that time that we remember from our childhood.
John, our last 30 seconds, we got to talk about, I'm a Dodger fan, Willie Mays, the end of Willie Mays, and what was going on with Yogi and the whole thing. In 30 seconds, I know it's hard to talk about, but go ahead.
Well, you could easily make the argument Willie Mays is the best player of all time, five-tool player. But by 1973, when he was with the New York Mets, he was in the twilight of his career, and he was just a shadow of himself. And it was so painful to watch him stumbling around bases, losing fly balls in the sun. But he still came through in the clutch. Like, he had a Baltimore chop to win the game five, the you know, deciding game of the National League pennant series. So, you know, he was forever Willie to the end.
Hey, hey, baby.
Hey, this book is more than baseball, folks, so I would advise you to pick it up. Greatest Summer in Baseball History, How the 73 Season Changed Us Forever by John Rosenring, fine writer. By the way, John, how many books have you written?
This is my 10th.
Only 10? Wow. I would have bet 20 or 30.
Well, it's actually 11, Fred.
John, thank you very much for appearing on Sports Overnight America.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you guys.
God, I eat the pants for Don Sutton, man.
All right, back with more on Sports Overnight America.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hey, thank you, John Rosengreen, very much. A very interesting book, The Greatest Summer in Baseball History, Amazon.com, through Source Books and major bookstores everywhere. All right, final segment of this show this evening. Art, I'm starting with you. New helmets for quarterbacks in the National Football League, special helmets. Any comments? And if they're special for quarterbacks, and last year they had special, I guess, for linemen, the quarterbacks now run. So shouldn't they have the same helmets as running backs?
Here's what they're trying to say. They're saying that a lot of quarterbacks get hit and then they hit their heads, the back of their heads on the AstroTurf or the hard fields. And that's where some of these concussions are coming from.
Right.
And that's all good. But why just quarterbacks?
Yeah.
They should have a helmet designed for linemen which has more padding up front. They should have a helmet designed for wide receivers, which would have more padding on the sides because they seem on the slant patterns to get hit from the side by the ear hole. Come on, let's get real here. We have the technology nowadays to protect these football players. Yes, it's expensive. But if a third or fourth receiver like OBJ can get $19 million signing with the Ravens, I think we can afford to come up with a $3,000 or $4,000 helmet. And I think the NFL should also make it mandatory in college and help fund high school football if they want to save the game so that the kids and the moms will say, okay, this helmet was donated by the NFL. I'm going to let my son play because it's safe.
Mark Mancini, a lot of CTE through the National Football League, a new type of helmet. Last year they had helmets for the defensive linemen. So they are going in that direction. But I would say, just on a hunch, that the quarterback's helmet is probably the safest of all. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, because Roger Goodell's just looking at quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. Doesn't he understand football is one in the trenches, defensive line and offensive line? Come on, Roger.
Mark, I used to watch USC guys go head-to-head. I mean, big, strong Clay Matthews against Billy Gay. And they have these gouges in the front of their helmets, you know. And I'm like, these are like, you know, two bucking Broncos going at each other. And I'm like, this cannot be good for you.
All right, I hope the show's been good for you. Mario, thank you very much. Art, thank you very much. You surprised me again on Barron Sports Trivia. Mark, you didn't surprise me on Barron Sports Trivia. We'll come back with more later tonight on Sports Overnight America.